The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
If Trump gets a chance to return, he's going to pick up exactly where he left off 4 years ago. Only this time, it will be much, much worse. Raising costs on middle-class family. He will repeal the Affordable Care Act, no doubt about it. He'll gut Social Security and Medicare. And when somebody tells you are, they believe him. He said he'd ban abortion across this country, and he'll do it, whether or not Congress is there or not. Donald Trump's not fighting for you or your family. He never sat at that kitchen table like the one I grew up at, wondering how we were going to pay the bills. He sat at his country club in Mar-a-Lago, wondering how he can cut taxes for his rich friends. And I got to tell you, his running mate shares his dangerous and backward agenda for this country. J.D. Vance literally wrote the foreword for the architect of the Project 2025 agenda. Like all regular people I grew up with in the heartland, J.D. studied at Yale, had his career funded by Silicon Valley billionaires, and then wrote a bestseller trashing that community. Come on! That's not what middle America is. And I gotta tell you, I can't wait to debate the guy.
Wow, fighting talk there from Kamala Harris' new vice presidential pick last night. Tim Walz, second-term Minnesota governor, now joins Kamala Harris on the Democratic ticket in the race for the White House. So who is he exactly, and why was he chosen over other popular governors? Joining me to discuss it now is Lorcan Nyhan, head of training with the Communications Clinic, columnist with the Sunday Independent. Lorcan, good morning.
Morning.
That was some barnstorming performance.
Incredibly effective, incredibly impressive for somebody who's probably new to the national stage, and probably all the more impressive because even as you hear there, elements of it were unpolished. Even as he talked to himself in interviews with Kamala Harris in the run-up to this, that he's kind of new to autocue. So he's kind of new to this stage, but the fact that it's a little bit unpolished almost makes it work better because it seems quite authentic. So he's been very, very effective. And look, his job now, and I think the reason he was probably chosen above the others, which I'm sure we'll get into, is to keep the spotlight on J.D. Vance. That's his job, is to keep people talking about J.D. Vance, keep him in the news, because J.D. Vance has been an awful pick for Donald Trump. He highlights all the areas that people are unsure about Donald Trump. And this guy, this governor, is tailor-made to keep J.D. Vance in the spotlight. Everything Vance is weak on, he is strong on and can talk to it very, very directly, as you've seen there. And I think the other thing that it points, you're going to say, Pat?
Yeah, no, I was going to ask you, why do some Republicans claim to be pleased at this choice?
Because they're going to try to define him. He's ill-defined thus far, and they're going to try to define him. How they are going to try to define him is that he is a dangerous liberal, that he is going to bring them even further to the left, that what he has done in his state of Minnesota is try to turn it into California. So they're going to try to make this seem like the far-left ticket now because of this choice. It may work. He is ill-defined. I think it's probably unlikely to work, mainly because he just does not seem or talk like a left-wing liberal. He speaks like somebody who grew up in Nebraska. He has a way of making his liberal policies, things like paid family leave, things like free school meals, just seem like decency, good neighborly behavior, common sense. So they're trying to paint him almost as a Bernie Sanders. Some of his views would be aligned with Bernie Sanders. Bernie Sanders is a fan of his, but that's not how he speaks. That's not how he presents himself. And if anybody's seen him or heard him speak, I think, you know, that's maybe just won't work. The other reason why I think Republicans are saying they are happy, whether they are or not, is obviously they may have been worried that Josh Shapiro, the governor of Pennsylvania, would have done more for them in that key swing state than obviously, you know, Minnesota would be pretty locked in now for the Democrats, so he's not going to add any value there.
Okay, that unpolished style, he has not been a lifelong politician. He came rather late to the game.
Came late to the game. A teacher. So a public school teacher for 20 years, then a principal. He was also in the National Guard. So he was, when he was elected to Congress, I think it was 2006 that he was ultimately elected for the first time in a Republican district, actually. He would have been the longest serving veteran who was in Congress at the time. So he's a teacher. who then became politicized during the John Kerry campaign in 2004. He says himself that he got involved there when he brought his students to a rally, and one of them got a George Bush rally, and one of them got critiqued for having a Kerry sticker, and then that annoyed him, and therefore he got involved. But not a lifelong politician, also not a lawyer. So not a lawyer, that's the first time that the Democrats have had not a lawyer on their ticket since 1980. And I think that does speak to something, because he doesn't speak therefore like a lawyer. He speaks more like a teacher, somebody from rural America. And that in this election is going to cut through in comparison to the others.
Now, is he the only one therefore with any military experience at all on the two tickets? Did Vance serve?
Yeah, J.D. Vance was a Marine and served abroad. So
they will probably try to compare those elements of their careers.
They'll try to compare those elements of their careers, and J.D. Vance would have been deployed when Walz wasn't. So I imagine the Republicans will try to make something of that. But where the actual comparison is going to come, and it is going to be very, very interesting, is everywhere that J.D. Vance maybe would like to talk about, Walz is going to be very, very good at pushing back. So J.D. Vance is going to talk about guns, and they're trying to take away your guns. You know, J.D. Walz already talks about saying, look, I'll go out shooting pheasants with them, and I guarantee you I'll beat them. Kamala Harris in her speech last night talked about how Walz won all the shooting competitions in Congress. J.D. Vance is obviously, you know, wants to be seen as the family candidate, and that he doesn't, you know, doesn't like people who don't have kids. Walz is able to talk very, very strongly about having his children through IVF, and he talked about it last night, and the Republicans are looking at IVF as maybe their next target over there. But he also does something very, very interesting that will work on that family line. When he has this line that just says, I don't want people like J.D. Vance in my wife's business, in my daughter's business. The golden rule where I grew up is mind your own damn business. And that kind of strong pushback, which is just let people do what they do, mind your own business, will work very, very well against J.D. Vance in that debate that, as we heard, he is looking forward to.
Now, much has been made of how well Kamala Harris got on with Tim Walz. But that can't be the only reason that he trumped Shapiro.
No, it is definitely part of it, but it's not the only reason. Okay, so if you delve into it, the absolute key rule when you're picking your vice president is that they do no harm to your campaign, that they don't impact it negatively. Yeah, that seems like, oh, right, okay, that's cautious. That's not about being cautious. It's very hard to do no harm, because if you're seen to be overly cautious, it can cause an issue as well. So I would think that Hillary Clinton was impacted. She picked Tim Kaine in 2016. That was a really cautious choice, and it was seen as too cautious and spoke to vulnerabilities within Hillary Clinton that she wasn't going to be progressive or ambitious. So I think the fact he did no harm is part of it. I think there might have been an idea that Josh Shapiro, because of negative headlines, that we would have been talking about the negatives of Josh Shapiro today on this line. That's what would have dominated the coverage, and then there would have been a worry there. The other reason you pick your vice president, and this is where the vice president can matter, is it's not about, people will never vote for the number two in the ticket, but they will look at the number one and say, what does this say about you? So some of the polling questions in America are, does the presidential candidate share my values? Does the presidential candidate care about people like me? What she'll be hoping is that by picking Tim Walz, rural America, you know, that kind of person, that kind of governor, that it will speak to people in the Rust Belt and will be saying, well, if she's picking him, she probably does share my values. If she's picking him, she probably does care about communities like mine. And I think he probably spoke to that maybe more than Josh Shapiro did.
Now, he chairs the Democratic Governors Association, so he would be well got in the party. They'd know him well, in spite of the fact that we don't know him well at all.
Yeah. You know, it wouldn't have been a big figure at all. Wouldn't have been on anybody's radars, really. Everybody in the Democratic politics seems to absolutely love the guy. You know, he's immediately been praised by the kind of far left of the party as well as the centre. Joe Manchin, who's you know, a former Democrat, now an independent, would be seen as, you know, kind of to the right of the party, and that's why he left. Loves him, praised him. Ocasio-Cortez, congresswoman, would be seen on the left, loved him, praised him. They're all absolutely aligned, and it's not just get behind him because, well, we'll get behind anybody. They seem to genuinely really, really like him. Joe Biden apparently just really, really liked him. He comes across as just a very enthusiastic, nice fella, and apparently they all just really, really enjoy his company.
Will he be able for it, do you think? Because when this campaign really hots up, Trump is going to excoriate him with truth or untruth, it wouldn't matter to Trump.
No, it won't matter at all. Then, you know, there'll be a nickname incoming. He's going to be mentioned at the rallies. It's very hard to know if he will be able for it. Everything we've seen over the last 2 to 3 weeks says yes. Last night says yes. He was very, very effective. He's able to push back. He's very, very good on television. So everything we've seen thus far will say he won't have a problem. He'll be well able for it. But as I'm sure, you know, people have talked about, you know, since the start of this, the vetting process was so, so small, was so tight. The timelines they had, something could come out of the woodwork that could be detrimental. You know, he's not the most polished speaker in the world. Sometimes he kind of loses the end of his sentences and things like that. So, you know, he might not always be as effective. I think he will be able for it. My view of it right now is that he is a good pick, a confident pick, the right pick. But something could come out of the woodwork. There could be something in his background that we just don't know about yet.
But, I mean, bringing Shapiro in might have guaranteed Pennsylvania. Will this choice have any effect on those swing states?
I think the hope would be that it will improve Kamala Harris's image across all of the swing states, and therefore it will, in a way that will never be quantifiable. You know, nobody's going to ever say, yeah, I voted for the ticket because of Tim Walz, but they'd be hoping there'd be an unquantifiable lift of a couple of percent across the board. I think the risk with Josh Shapiro then as well was it would have made them seem like they were all in on Pennsylvania, that they were just targeting Pennsylvania. I'm not absolutely bought in on the research about the impact of the home state of the vice president anyway. And I think it might have been seen as, okay, she's playing it very, very safe. And would they have lost a bit of energy? Would they have lost a bit of fundraising? Would they have lost a bit of impact on the ground? It's very hard to tell. Nobody's going to be pointing to a state and say they won that state because of Tim Walz, but I think if it's a good election, it will turn out to be a good choice.
Now, he was the one who described the Vance-Trump duo as weird. I mean, he said, I see Donald Trump talking about the wonderful movie character Hannibal Lecter or whatever weird thing he is on tonight. That is weird behaviour. I don't think you can call it anything else. And as a result, the searches on Google for weird have soared. And I don't know whether you saw that stat in association with something else, you know, weird this, weird that. But there were four categories where weird was being searched. One was with Tim Walz, because he was the one who coined the phrase. The other three categories were the GOP, MAGA, and Trump Vance.
That labelling, that application of that lens has been the single most effective bit of political communication in America in years and years and years. Because with one phrase and of they're just weird, it's changed how people look at Trump, and it's changed how people look at Vance and look at the party full stop. Even last night when Josh Shapiro was speaking, the crowd just started chanting when he mentioned J.D. Vance, he's so weird, he's so weird. And Shapiro picked up on it, stopped and said, I think that's what you're saying. I think you're saying he's so weird. So you've obviously heard of my colleague, Tim Walz, and then went into a riff on that. It has been phenomenally effective, because now instead of looking and saying, oh, is it dangerous? Or oh, we should be so worried about them. It just changes how people see it. So it's been really, really effective. But it's also just points to the Democrats' 180 turn from, you know, they go low, we go high, to they go low, we'll meet you there, and we're going to brawl with you. We'll brawl with you with a smile, but we're going to brawl and we'll do it on your terms. And there's a couple of statements from Tim Walz last night, you know, that were absolutely, they were low. On their own terms, they were low comments. He was going below the belt, but they've decided to go down there, and it's more effective than the they go low, we go high.
Well, it's a page from the Trump playbook, isn't it? I mean, whether it's Little Marco or the other applications of nicknames he did to his own party members to diminish them in everyone's eyes.
This is it. And if you look at what Trump did to Little Marco, when, you know, he used to call Jeb Bush low energy. Once he called him low energy, everything Jeb Bush then did was through that prism. If he tried to be tough and energetic, was, you're only reacting to what Trump said to you. If he had a bad moment, it was like, oh yeah, you're really low energy. This low energy thing stuck to him, and then nothing, you couldn't see him anything other through that lens. The same is now true of the entire Republican Party because of what he did. Everything that they do now, people are saying, that is a bit weird. Or are you being weird again? Are you trying to prove you're not weird? And now you've got Trump and J.D. Vance coming out saying, we're not weird. Let me tell you how not weird we are. And once you're doing that, you come across pretty weird. Yeah. The danger within it, Pat, and they need to be careful. They need to be very, very careful, is that it stops being just linked to Vance and Trump. And it starts seeming like they're calling everybody at the rallies weird. Walz has been strong on that. Walz has said that, you know, I'm not talking about them. I have family members who go to those rallies. They're my community who goes to those rallies. I'm not talking about them. I'm talking about the top of the ticket. So they do need to be careful. He's probably a good voice for threading that line, but the rest of the party around him need to be very, very careful that they don't lose the runner themselves and that it becomes as slightly deplorables like Hillary Clinton in 2016 vibe to it. Now, they're doing it well thus far. I think the other thing that's interesting, and it's such a self-inflicted wound, is this weird framing would not have worked if J.D. Vance wasn't on the ticket, because people, it would have been too late. But people are bored of Trump. Vance is new. You can target Vance with it, and then the brush kind of sweeps across to Donald Trump.
Well, we await the polls. Obviously, they do instant polls in America, but maybe some more studied polls by the weekend might tell us how this new ticket is going to fare against Trump and Vance. Ed Lorcan Nyhan, Head of Training with Communications Clinic, columnist with the Sunday Independent, thank you very much for joining.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.